Tango Tango Papa 2037, June 6, 2019.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from near Texarkana, Arkansas. So I'm on the Arkansas side. I delivered a load in Temple, Texas this morning, and then picked up another load at Dallas, Texas. And that load delivers to Pottsville, Pennsylvania. So I am on my way to Pottsville, Pennsylvania. So, but I stopped here near Texarkana. I went ahead and stopped at this rest area, and there was a parking spot left. And so I went ahead and grabbed it. And there's has been some lightning. When I first parked, probably about 30 minutes ago, there was some pretty spectacular looking lightning. It hasn't really rained at all. There's still some lightning flashes, so I don't know. I didn't look at the radar. I don't know if there's what it's supposed to do. I'm still seeing some lightning flashes, so we'll see. But anyway, I found a place to park, so I just decided I'd go ahead and park here, because the later that I go into the drive into the evening, especially after it gets dark, then it becomes more difficult to find a parking spot in truck stops. And so I thought I would just stop here, and there happened to be a parking spot, and so I grabbed it. So so I've got a comment in the last podcast, which was just a couple of days ago. Scott had a comment for Joel talking about virtue, the topic of virtue signaling, and so I've got a response from Joel now, talking about, kind of responding to Scott, talking about virtue signaling. So I'm going to be playing that. And I wanted to talk some more about the idea of ideological possession. Because, you know, some people have this idea, you know, if you look at the Catholic Church, and you've watched any of the Exorcist movies, people do, there is, I really do believe there is such a thing as possession. You know, now, are they evil spirits, or, you know, who knows? Don't know. Regardless of that, whether you believe there are spirits or not, there is such a thing as possession. I really do believe there is. I think it's pretty obvious to me that there is. And, you know, whether that's spirits or it's simply ideas or it's some sort of a malfunction in the brain, because whatever is going on with the person, you know, typically there's some kind of activity that's mirrored in the brain. You know, because your brain certainly is capable, you know, it stores things. You know, it's got massive amounts of data storage, and, you know, they still study the brain, and although we've learned, you know, probably quite a bit about it, it's still a gigantic mystery. You know, we've barely, science has barely scratched the surface when it comes to figuring out how the human brain works. It's just, it's complicated. It's probably the most complicated thing in the universe. And here we are trying to unravel it and understand it using a brain. So that probably doesn't work too well. But you know, just imagine that someone is possessed with an idea. Then, and the more emotion, especially resentment, the more emotion that they pour into that idea, especially resentment, it sort of, you can think of it almost, although it, you know, it's almost like a short circuit, where, you know, you present the person with all you have to do at a certain point is just present them with a. It can even be just a symbol. Let's say it's an apple symbol. You know, would be a great example, or a Christian cross would be another one. That could end up being someone could have complete knee jerk reaction to it, and I think there are probably a lot of people that do. The Nazi symbol, which is a kind of a what, sort of like a modified Coptic cross, I believe it was Coptic. The Nazi symbol, and so Hitler was, used that as that symbol, and then, a giant percentage of the German population at that time was, possessed with the Nazi ideology, and once you've got all the people around you that are kind of buying into whatever it is, it becomes really difficult, if not impossible, to go against that. You dare not question it. And so most people end up there's a lot of people, and it's probably most of us, because as I was saying in the last podcast, if we like to think that if we were around during Hitler's time in Nazi Germany, that we would be Oskar Schindler and hiding the Jews, helping them escape or whatever. This, and the sad reality is that we wouldn't be. We would be Nazis. Let's just be brutally honest. We would be Nazis. We all know what our character is. We've all done things that we're not proud of. Let's be honest. Let's just not gloss over things. We have a traitorous nature to varying degrees. And generally speaking, we also, if there's enough pressure applied, we'll just go along rather than, not go along, and make a stink. Most of us will just give in and, keep the peace or whatever. But if you can imagine, so in other words, ideological possession can be once it's established and strengthened, then it can be associated with symbols. As I say, it could be a Nazi symbol, and it would basically, it could be any sort, any one of the five senses. And in practical terms, it could either, it's either going to be a sound or it's going to be something visual. Those two things are probably the most, you know, direct vector, you know, with a visual probably being the biggest one. You know, the biggest vector as far as triggering an ideological, almost like an algorithmic response or knee-jerk reaction. You know, the ideological possession simply, you know, takes over, and then you can't reason with the person. It becomes impossible to reason with people. You know, and you can't even, you know, and I've tried, you know, tried to get, the person to kind of calm down, because typically whenever, if I, in the cases where I've been in discussions with people and it's pretty obvious they start getting mad, that's the first thing they do, is they become emotional whenever the... the ideological position or possession sort of kicks in, they become emotional, and then it's impossible. And then if, you know, I've tried to get them to, you know, talk, you know, like, well, let's, can't we just discuss this calmly, and they can't do it. At least at that point, it's not possible. It's not possible to get them to, you know, reason becomes impossible. It's a very strange thing that happens. You know, and there are, if we knew what to look for, like with an fMRI, you know, if you were doing a, you know, kind of like an fMRI, had somebody in an fMRI scanner, you know, and trigger, if you could trigger the ideological possession reaction, get a really strong ideological possession reaction going, if we knew what we were looking for, we could probably see the pattern in the brain. We would have to be able to. Because that's such a common, it's apparently a very common sort of reaction. But I do believe that it all kind of ties back to resentment. Resentment is at the base of it. Resentment enables ideological possession. That's the enabling factor. I believe that's at the base of it. And, you know, of course, resentment comes packaged with its own denial mechanisms. And people say, oh, I don't resent. Yeah, you do. You know, be honest. You know, and if you catch yourself being ideologically possessed, resentment, just remember that resentment is sort of the enabling factor. That's the thing that's there, and it's hidden from you. You hide it from yourself. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be related to the ideological possession. whatever the idea is, it doesn't even have to be related to it. The resentment is just sort of like an enabling factor. And then, of course, if you can get people to be more emotional and then have lots of resentment, even to the point where they're proud of their resentment, you know, they're lost. You know, if you want to be miserable, you know, because it's all tied together. You want to be a miserable person, be ideologically possessed. If you want to suffer, because human beings, we do suffer. You know, there are people that believe that awareness, simply being aware as a human being, being conscious, is consciousness suffering? Some people, I think, believe that consciousness, to be conscious, is suffering. And I don't believe that. I think that it's possible to be conscious and not suffer because of it. I think it is possible, I believe it's possible, to simply be conscious without any kind of suffering involved. But once you resent, and then, you know, throw all the things in on top of that, that's where suffering comes in. That's kind of where it comes into the equation. But if you're ideologically possessed, you know, your soul is shrinking. Every time you sin, every little sin, you know, your soul is kind of shriveling up. Every time someone agrees with you that wrong is right and right is wrong, it shrivels up some more. You lose a little piece of it, maybe a big piece of it. And you end up a more miserable human being. And there's plenty of them. You know, look at how many people commit suicide. How many people are taking antidepressants? It's insane. Just utterly insane. In most cases, it's not doing them any damn good anyway. Just making the drug companies rich. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play Joel's response comment back to Scott. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom, I'm listening to your latest podcast and kind of got a response for Scott. I don't like one big reason I don't like virtue signaling is mostly because there's companies like, this is a good month for that. It's Gay Pride Month, which, you know, they, by the way, it says the pride comes before the fall. But every single company out there, they'll do the slacktivist thing and change their, like, the Science Museum here in Columbus, they changed the background of their logo to have a rainbow on it. Everyone's slapping the rainbow on things. because, oh, it's Gay Pride Month, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I'm sure that there's some that are actually donating to whatever the cause is, if there actually is, you know, is a place that you can donate. But do they actually care about the cause? I'm sure some of them do. I'm sure some of them do. All right. But I also don't like the idea. Now, if somebody wants the virtue signal by donating to something, well, that's kind of between that the charity and them. But call me crazy. If I ran a charity, I want someone to be joyfully and basically, I don't want people to just give to me. I want them to not to give and care about it at the same time, I guess. I don't know. The thing that bothers me more is the artificial virtue signaling, like Nike with the ad with Colin Kaepernick, with pretty much any Gay Pride Month thing. You know, there's Rainbow Warriors, Rainbow this, Rainbow that, all to make a buck based on Gay Pride Month. And a lot of that is all it is. Is to make, you know, they're selling this to show, you know, and guess what? Even that identity group, which that's what this is, identity politics here, that identity group sees through that. I've read several articles where they say, well, you know, they don't care about it. You know, a lot of gays don't care about it anymore, which is true. So I'm sure there are a lot to do still for the moment. But then, you know, like I go back on, there was a quote going around from Morgan Freeman, and it was from several years ago where I think it was from 60 Minutes or something. When they were talking about, he said Black History Month, and Morgan Freeman called it ridiculous. And he said that you got to relegate my history to a month. And he said do we have a Jewish History Month? He's like, well, we don't have one. It's like, well, then I don't want a Black History Month either. And he basically tells him my history is American history. And that's really what we need to do, is we need to go back to that, where it wasn't about causes that you support and this and that. And really, that's what it is, you know. It's like I struggle with wanting to do things for my church sometimes, mostly because I want to make sure that my heart's in the right place. I don't want to do something for my church if I'm just doing it so that I look good. And that's what virtue signaling is people doing things just so they can look good. You know, you said it many times, you're okay, I'm okay kind of thing. You know, that's not what it's for. And that's why I don't spit at it, you know, but I struggle with it because I think you know, I want people to be real, I guess is what I want to say.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel, for the comment. So, yeah, there a lot of companies jump on the bandwagon. You know, they jump on the bandwagon for whatever it is, you know. And there's a lot of that that's going on now. Even razor blade companies have jumped onto this Me Too thing, which is, and they've even to the point where some of these giant corporations have ruined their sales of some of the razor blades. It's people quit buying them because of the stupid ads that they put out. And I don't remember which one it was. And you can look it up on YouTube and, you know, watch the ads. You know, they're pretty dumb. Kind of accusing men of, being misogynist or whatever, toxic masculinity. You know, so there's a lot of these companies that have just jumped onto these bandwagons. And it's just, it's utterly stupid. They should just keep their mouths shut. You know, just keep your mouth shut and, you know, sell your product. You know, this idea that, oh, we're gonna signal our virtues. You know, and then that somehow I think they think that they're gonna, it's gonna help their bottom line somehow. And in most cases, it doesn't. It's like, well, it's like Target with the bathroom thing. You know, that goes back now, what, a couple of years ago? That ended up screwing up their sales. You know, Target, you know, really suffered because of that. You know, because of this stupid comments from their CEOs. And then, I don't know, they were going to have these unisex bathrooms or whatever, you know, which was stupid because they already did. You know, you go in a Target store and you got a men's bathroom and a women's bathroom, and then there's this family bathroom. Okay. You know, anybody can go into the family bathroom as long as somebody's not in there and the door's not locked. You can walk right into the family bathroom, man or woman. But, you know, so I don't know. They're stupid. So Target did it. There's the Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, with the guns. You know, he ended up hurting that business. It's, you know, what was another one that did it? Starbucks, you know, that guy, the CEO, made some dumb comments. So, you know, and it's not necessarily, you know, a virtue signal, you know, because they're doing it in a negative way as well. You know, negative virtue signaling is, you know, versus this positive, oh, we're going to put up our rainbow sign or whatever behind our logo. You know, so they would be better off not, you know, kind of not getting involved in that. You know, but people are stupid sometimes, you know. Well, they're not necessarily stupid, but what you're seeing is ideological possession at work. That's really what it is. And why are we seeing so much of it now in the corporate world? I think it's because it goes back to really poor education. These people that have all these college degrees, and they really didn't get educated very well. They got indoctrinated. I think the purpose of school, especially nowadays, the purpose of all this, you know, most schools, especially if they're public schools, the purpose isn't really to educate. It's to produce ideological possession. Possess people with ideas, and then, you know, they can't think for themselves. But the strange thing is, you can be possessed and not realize. You kind of, maybe you sort of realize you're possessed, maybe you don't. You think it's you, when it isn't. It's not you. It's not you. You know, a lot of people think they have an identity when they don't. It's not their identity. But people really are ideologically possessed. You know, and it's not necessarily, you know, the extreme example would be, you know, somebody frothing at the mouth and making demonic sounds. That's the extreme version of it. But there are lesser versions of it, and the lesser sort of hidden versions are probably the most damaging. So the reason these people are all virtue signaling is because they have ideological possession. They don't realize it. They don't want to realize it, you know. And then they're all signaling to each other that, oh, we're part of the in group. Just, you know, when those kind of things happen, just, you know, go back and you know, and I'm sure we've all seen it, you know, the black and white footage of the Hitler rallies where the people all, you know, the audience, they all thrust their arms up at like a 45 degree angle. You know, a right arm goes up at a 45 degree angle or whatever it is. And the Nazi salute. And that's basically virtue signaling. The Nazi salute was a form of virtue signaling. So we need, you know, need to think about these things. Sometimes it can be painful to think about these kind of things. But it can also be very interesting, it can be very enlightening to think about these sorts of things. You know, how do these ideas fit together? What, you know, if you add two and two, do you get four? And if you have five and three, you have five and you take away three, do you get two? You know, and these ideas oftentimes work the same way. You know, and if you, you know, kind of play with these ideas in your mind, then it becomes possible to realize, oh my God, virtue signaling is everywhere. Oh my God, to one extent or another, we've all suffered from ideological possession. So again, you know, you imagine, you've seen the videos of, and they're on YouTube, and I suggest they're well worth watching. You know, the black and white videos of Adolf Hitler having his rallies, and you know, all of the audience being so excited and giving the Hitler, you know, the Nazi salute. They're virtue signaling. And then when he'd give his speech, he'd kind of start out slow, and then it would build and build and build, and the audience would get really excited, you know, and you'd have a kind of a callback kind of thing going on where he would say something, and then they would, you know, I don't know what they said, I have no idea, probably look that up somewhere, where the audience was, you know, as they gave the Nazi salute. You know, and they'd ha ha, whatever. You know, kind of over and over again. You know, sort of reinforcing it. Reinforcing the excitement, the emotional aspect of it. You know, and then you have like a WWDC event or whatever, which I don't watch those anymore. I haven't watched them in several years. But, you know, they're up there and they've got, you know, all the excited audience, and then they've got their big giant Apple logo. And they're all emotional. Same thing. That same kind of thing's going on. You virtue signal by buying the Apple product and flashing the logo, sort of flash the logo at the, you know, the other, you know, public, and then it, you know, and you're sort of flashing the logo, showing people that you belong to the club. Oops, it's starting to rain. Let's see, I've got the windows part way down. Is it, oh, it's not raining too hard yet. It doesn't look like it's raining inside yet, so I will, Just keep an eye on that. You know, so you have, you know, so that would be another example, you know, the Apple logo, you know, with at the center of the stage. You know, and there, I'm sure there's other examples that I, you know, if I would kind of think, sit down and think about it, there are probably some other examples that I could give. But those are the more blatant extreme examples. But another form of it would be, you know, like Pavlov with the dogs. You know, where he would ring the bell and then the dogs would salivate. He taught them to, you know, got them to kind of salivate because it was time to eat. So he'd ring the bell and the dogs would just automatically salivate even if there was no food present. So sort of an algorithmic response to a stimulus. But of course, human beings are, you know, we have an animal side, but, you know, also we are much more complicated than that. And so then it can not only be, you know, like a sound stimulus or a visual stimulus, but it can be an idea can possess our minds. And then be reinforced with a visual stimulus or a sound stimulus. Or the behavior of the people around us. So it's interesting to think about these things and how they all tie together and how they can end up working into our own behavior. Why, you know, I've always been, and I'm always fascinated, why do I do what I do? Why do I like what I like? Et cetera, et cetera. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. It'll be maybe a little bit shorter podcast than could be. So, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.